around me, man. Some people look at me weird. Give me these weird looks. And I don't understand, but I guess I could understand.
Welcome to the World Famous Shit Show, everybody.
Hello.
Spencer and PA are here as always, and we are trying out a new, not format, because we that went out the window. You're getting what you get, but new technology again for like the fifth week in a row. Everybody kind of migrated towards Zoom, and like their stock went crazy, but there are like dozens, if not hundreds, of other ways to like telecommunicate.
Marco Polo.
Polo?
Marco Polo.
Polo. I don't know. Is that, that's one of them?
Yeah, my, makes my sense. Friend of mine it bought stock in it, and he messaged me over Marco Polo and told me to download it because he just bought stock in it, and it's not going to take off, and it's not going to do well. Like, I can just tell it's not going to do well.
What? Is it the same thing? Is it Zoom and Facebook chat and all
yeah,
that
it's
shit?
All, it's all that, yeah.
What's it called? Marco Polo?
Yeah, because so George, who I work with on Monday nights, his daughter has Marco Polo. She's had it for a few years.
I've never heard of it. What is it? Is it like a public company?
It originated as a swimming pool game.
Well, I'm familiar with that aspect of it. I don't know how migrated
Tim Cook at Apple bought it, and then he developed it into a video chat system.
God, they will just turn anything.
I know. Red Rover is going to be coming out with a new. I think it's like a new slam ball. Remember slam ball, murder ball. That's what it was. Murder ball.
Okay.
Yeah. I like red light. Green light.
Oh, red light, green light, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that's fun too.
I'm hoping. I have a few developers working on. What is it? Stealing the Bacon. If you're familiar with that game,
no.
Steal the Bacon.
Never.
Was that the only one?
Catch the Flag.
Steal the Bacon was
not very popular with the Jews.
Steal the Bacon. Well, yeah, Steal the Bacon. Then apologize for it. Settle out of court. Steal the Bacon was a game for like if it was a rainy day and we had gym class. And you had to play like a game, and you know, and it was an alternative to dodgeball. And they'd take like a bowling pin and put it in the middle of the gym, and then everybody would make a circle. I think everybody would make a circle like sitting down.
Somebody would have
to run into the middle, grab the bowling pin, and I don't know. Somebody else would have to try and tag them before they could get back with the.
That's right.
With the bacon.
Right.
A lot of fun indoor gym games, I remember.
Do you remember doing the parachute thing in the indoor gym? You guys have the parachute?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I
got so excited every time I saw that goddamn parachute.
You're not alone. Was it the colors or the parachute itself or the silky material it was sewn out of?
It was all of it. It was the colors, the parachute, and then like when it would go up in the air and you'd go under it.
And you'd sit on it? Oh my God. How'd it stay up? Yeah, that was exciting.
Funny you mention that because right now my camera, I don't have a view of myself. But in its place, I'm looking at color bars. And for some reason, my entire life, every time I see color bars, it's like just some kind of exciting thing. And I could never find a route for that. And it might be that fucking Gymboree parachute. Does that make any sense? It just brings me joy because it brings me back to like pre-K at Tanglewood.
Could be.
No, I mean like real indoor gym games. Like what? Like in high school, all right. Let's get past like the dodgeball and the whatever. In dodgeball, now where you went to high school, there were seasons, right?
Yeah. All right, for sure.
Like snow or like constant rain for 2 months straight.
We got snow and we had tornado season.
Oh jeez,
okay. I did not know that till recently. That
you get like a tornado day home from school or how?
Well, you it was like the old school, like nuclear bomb thing. You just hide under your desk, you know.
Really?
Oh, you had drills?
No. For the tornado drills, you do that, or you go out in the hallway and sit facing the wall with a book, over your neck. Like you'd sit down and put your face in your lap and then put a book over your neck.
Really? It makes a little bit of sense though, because you're in the hall away from any windows, I'd imagine would be the goal of that. Right.
Listen, people like to knock on Alabama public schools, but when it comes to a tornado drill, God damn it.
Sounds like you are. Yeah. You had I never even heard of that.
49th in education, number two in tornado preparedness.
Yeah. You know who's number one?
Who?
Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay. What, in education or in tornado preparedness?
Both.
Really? Yeah.
Not so good.
Not great in the hurricane department, I think.
Yeah. It kind of hurt their education.
They put all their resources in.
It's like, we know how to read. We just don't know how to read the warning signs.
Yeah.
Wrong disaster.
I'm thinking about like in high school, like all the indoor gym games. Like, what did you do? Because I think for us, it was like in the winter, like you couldn't go out and play football or anything like that. So in the winter months, they would open up the huge, you know, what is a collapsible wall separating the two halves of the gym and be co-ed. And we had this huge volleyball tournament for like the entire winter. So like every other day it's, you know, you're playing volleyball for like an hour and a half. It was crazy. It was fun. Yeah. What did they have? What'd you guys do?
Well, in fifth grade, we had a PE teacher, Coach Foster. He was a total nerd. He would have juggling stations for us.
Juggling stations?
Yeah, so one station would be like juggling scarves. Mm-hmm. One was spinning plates.
Wow.
You had your standard tennis ball juggling. I can't remember what else. I was only good at juggling scarves, though. I couldn't juggle.
I fucking love that we're talking about Alabama being 49th in education. Meanwhile, your physical education, they were getting you ready to join the circus.
And wet dreams. I missed that day, but I remember hearing about it. In fifth grade, our gym teacher talked the entire class about having wet dreams and what that means.
Do you remember any of the advice? Like, what did it mean?
I was sick that day, and I think about it all the time that I missed that one day.
Yeah, but
yeah,
Coach Foster wasn't. So yeah, that's what our health teacher was our phys ed teacher. So we would go to a classroom, and then our phys ed teacher would teach us health, and it was like,
what do you remember what grade that was in, Sue? Because I remember I had health in high school, but I feel like fifth grade is a little early to be learning about wet, or maybe it's not.
No, it was fifth grade. Yeah. It was fifth grade for me. And I remember Michael was the only boy in his health class.
That's awesome.
And the teacher actually emailed me.
Was the teacher a guy or a girl?
It was a guy. And he said, I have Michael sitting up at the desk with me. And I just wanted to let you know what
ladies. Today we're gonna talk about erections. We have
the banana, but since Michael's here,
I'm gonna ask him about that. I totally forgot until we started talking about this. Can you imagine though being in a classroom all girls and him?
Oh my god. Today we're gonna learn how the proper way to put on a condom. Do I have any volunteers? Now all you girls pair up with a boy. That'd be amazing. He had the pick of the litter.
I feel like I've seen this adult films before. This is how it starts.
Where the guy is the only one in the sex ed class.
Right.
Our gym coaches weren't our health teachers. We had when I was in high school, we had like a ton of gym coaches. Like there was Natoli, Messina, right? And I got in good with all of them. So I was like the class clown. Wasn't voted class clown, but so I would make them fucking laugh their asses off. That's when I really came into doing like voices and impressions and everything. So mm-hmm. Natoli,
it was sort of like a coping mechanism type thing.
I
would think.
Coping with what, Sue? What's your fucking problem? Coping with what? What do I have to cope with?
Jesus, Sue.
Wow.
What did I have to cope with in high school?
No, I think it's an awkward situation.
I think it was because you struck a nerve.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll take this off the air.
No, I mean, no, I think
it's awkward and uncomfortable being in a room talking about sex with your peers and a teacher.
I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about my gym coach.
Oh, sorry.
I got in good with my gym coaches, and like Natoli was like the head, like old Italian guy, bald head, built like a brick shit house, you know? And I would do like my impression of Scarface, right? And I would do like the whole monologue when he's like, "You need people like me so you can point your fucking finger and say that's the bad guy," right? So he would just roll on the floor laughing. And then he's like, "Come here, you got to see this kid." So like all the other coaches were like, "Oh, look at this fucking guy. He's great." So I got away with murder, right? I always had first pick. When it was co-ed volleyball, I had first pick.
So you picked the tall Amazon women?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been competitive edge on the court. We
had Mr. Limmer and Sarah Dowler. They were the school's like health teachers. And Limmer had been teaching health for probably since the 80s. And he was just the health teacher. And then the gym teachers never had anything to do with, you know.
Well, that's in high school.
What goes where?
But in middle school.
Middle school. Nope. Health teacher, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I mean.
You guys had a big budget.
I didn't have a health teacher till high school, and he was the football coach.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was, how would I say it, not qualified to be a health teacher.
That would be one way of putting it.
He was so annoyed that he had to do this. I felt like he got hired and thought he was just going to do football, and they like Trojan horsed it on him that like the first day of school. Hey, Coach Hagan.
No pun intended.
You got to teach health. And he never had a lesson plan prepared. It was in a double wide trailer outside of the school. He didn't have a desk either. It was like one of those fold-out tables.
Oh,
and
oh, geez, poor guy.
He would just stand in the front of the class and flip through this health book until he found something comfortable enough he could talk about.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is how fucking uncomfortable was it for everyone in the double-wide trailer?
Like we would have the kids, like the students would have a fun time because we all – saw how uncomfortable this 48-year-old man was having to talk to like a bunch of 10th graders about what fallopian tubes are.
I'm writing this scene in my head.
Like, here's the thing. He's the football coach. Like,
right.
It's just funny. Like, I'm sure his early onset sexual experiences being the football coach were like, you and a couple buddies hold her down. And, you know,
Jesus.
I don't know.
What was coach's name?
Scooter. I'll call him Coach Ryan.
Yeah.
You know?
So Jim Bob Ryan, pretty much.
Yeah, Jim Bob Ryan.
Big John. They called him Big John.
Did you have a big football team? Like, was that a big important sport? Because I know in Alabama they obviously.
Yeah, no, it was important. We weren't any good.
That doesn't matter.
They're really good now. They're like state champions now. But like when I was there, they were not that good.
But it was important though, right? Like everybody would turn out.
We had pep rallies every week. It was like the last period of class. They just take the whole school in the gymnasium and we just scream and yell at each other for the football team.
And the team would get up and say a few words. The captains.
Yeah, I don't remember if they did. Yeah, probably. Yeah. We had to compete over a spirit stick every week. whoever cheered the loudest got the spirit stick. Which, guys, I know this sounds ridiculous, but this is what happens when you shape the future of America. It's not about arithmetic and balancing a checkbook. How loud can you yell?
Of course.
How bad do you want it? Okay.
So that's a bunch of.
See,
how old are you?
That's
30.
Why there's Twitter.
I'll be 30 in July.
So all the 30-year-olds right now that went to your high school, that's what they got from it.
They got pregnant because of Coach Hagan's poor, lackluster performance.
I'm just
football coach for that matter.
I'm picturing the coach in that double wide trailer, Alabama school system. he hears the bell ring off in the distance, and he knows it's time for health class. So he tucks his Murphy bed back up into the wall of the double wide and lets the 12 or so students into the trailer.
He didn't live in the trailer. I want to make that clear.
No. Whose story is this, Spencer?
So
he unfolds. He knows he's got 3 minutes. So he unfolds the legs of his desk, stands it up, and then welcomes them in one by one. And, coffee's in the pot. And he's got to just kind of thumb through the book and say, all right, did we do labia last week? Yeah. Is that how you say that? I don't know why you're Alabama.
He's trying to explain devil's three ways to the kids.
Now, who knows what a dirty Sanchez is?
How about a Canadian belt buckle?
Right. I don't even know what that is, Sue.
Sue, please explain.
A Canadian belt buckle?
Yeah, you never heard of a Canadian belt buckle?
I'll just let people Google that.
No, go ahead.
No, don't.
Come on. It's more fun if you tell us.
Or a rusty trombone.
Well, oh, that one.
That's
Eiffel Tower.
On. Even his health teacher.
A Canadian belt buckle is when a guy puts his dick and balls,
outside of his
his belt. How can you not bring your dick out if your balls are out? You open the zipper?
Yeah. I think a lot, more commonly it would just be dropping them, walking around with just your nuts out of the barn door. And it's called something else too.
It is called something else.
It's called something else. Canadian belt buckle. That was always one of my favorites.
I would say positions, but antics. It's always a location, a geographical place, and then like an inanimate object or
right.
Or,
oh yeah.
Or an event like a Szechuan circus or a Yugoslavic batter's box.
Right. The Icelandic jump start.
Yeah.
That's missionary anal.
A Saskatchewan shish kebab.
How come BuzzFeed doesn't do more of these? Which Friends character are you?
Man, if there was a way to make a living at coming up with stuff like that, I would be a billionaire with a B.
The Houdini, that was always a funny one.
Sure. Gorilla Face.
Ooh,
or the Ape Lincoln.
The Ape Lincoln?
that's even better. That's it. That's the same thing. Ape Lincoln.
An Ape Lincoln.
An Ape Lincoln is when you're shaving your pubes and you completely shave the area from the dick up and leave a little hair on your balls before creating a look of a...
Of a beard. That makes sense.
Is that... Did you look that up, Sue? Because that was not what I was when I was at school.
When I showed her my Abe Lincoln, she dropped her Gettysburg address.
4 whores and 7 beers ago. Pretty proud of that.
4 whores and 7 beers ago.
Who said American history wouldn't pay off?
That was perfect. Okay. What were we going to talk about again? Oh, so...
go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. No, every week we will have watched a really shitty movie. Usually not even on purpose. The other night, Sue and I were it was kind of in the evening. And we were sitting and she's like, let's watch a movie. So we start flipping through. And I know if I don't pick something she... wants, like 100% wants to watch, she's gonna fall asleep. I'm gonna end up watching half of the movie and going back to watching Married with Children. And we come upon this movie with John Corbett, Gary Cole, and who else was in it?
Julie Benz, Kelly.
Oh, it's a good cast.
Yeah, Kelly Overton. I don't know, Jeffrey Blake.
I know one
Gary
of them was
Grubbs.
One of them is the wife from Dexter. I don't know what her actual name
Julie
is.
Benz.
Yeah. She's like, how about, let's watch this. It's called Ricochet. So ooh. I go, all right, looks like a little, like, sort of a murder mystery.
Made for TV yeah. mystery movie.
Well, yeah. what it, no, Sue, because what it didn't say in the description was a made for TV
no, it didn't.
Murder mystery. It just said, yeah. John Corbett stars in Ricochet. And you know, with those TV movies, you can tell pretty much immediately that it's a TV movie. I think I made about half hour in, and I knocked out. I wake up to the sound of a gunshot. John Corbett sitting with the widow, happily ever after. And Sue goes, I liked it. Now, any...
well, good for you, Sue.
Sue, give us the long
well,
and short
of this
movie.
Well, you know what, though? All right. It was a twist with a twist and a twist. I don't know what that's ooh. Called.
Not bad for TNT.
Yeah. So that's you never really knew who was playing who. So there was a rich couple. One was a judge, right? What's his name was the judge? Gary Cole was the judge. John Corbett's a police officer. What a cute little police officer rookie girl. Right?
Just real quick, for anybody who doesn't know, John Corbett was he did the Big Fat Greek Wedding and United States Terror. And Gary Cole is on Veep. He was Lumberg in Office Space.
Oh, yeah. Gary Cole's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, John Corbett's kind of an old, disgruntled police officer, been around the precinct a long time, knows everybody and everything, and it's got this young, new rookie who's by the book when he might, like, bend the rules a little bit. So he gets it on with the judge's wife, who essentially ends up going missing, fakes her own death, and is trying to point it back to the judge who was inappropriately.
Well, she kills a guy in their house. That's what I remember. That's what I took.
That's
away
how
from
it starts. Yeah. Yeah. So she's covering it up and why it happened and blah 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 blah. There's a lot of twists and turns, and you never really know. Did she really kill him or not? Because they don't ever tell you that. They don't ever show you that. But you assume she did. Like, was it self defense? Right. I
yeah.
guess
hey,
it wasn't.
Hey,
yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was good. I mean, it was based on a novel, which I usually think that's good, like a popular book. But here's sure. some of the critic reviews. Sandra Brown's Ricochet is just awful.
Yep.
It's a dead bore, weighed down by bad writing and a plodding performance by Mr. Corbett, who is to film noir with Saltpeter is to sexual attraction.
Yeah, because it makes you impotent.
I do like John Corbett, I gotta say. I like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... That's not the movie I said that I liked that I thought you were talking about. This got 20.
What movie did you think I was talking about?
The one you made me shut off.
There's also a 1991 Ricochet starring Denzel Washington, John Lithgow, Ice-T, and Kevin Pollak.
Yeah, that seems
shit.
Much more potential. Yeah,
I gotta look that up.
It's not the same storyline, I don't think. No, it doesn't seem like it.
Cool. No. I'll watch it then.
But yeah, this isn't worth watching.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, it's so fucking bad. So, how many steaming piles of shit would you give it, Sue?
I'd give it 2.5.
Is that... Oh, right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right in the middle, okay. Yeah. Take
I
mean, it or leave
it. I was entertained. I didn't fall asleep.
The lady and I watched The Omen last night.
Ooh.
Oh, Gregory Peck.
Oh, yeah.
I had never seen it, but man, Gregory Peck is just always so troubled. He has the most furrowed brow in every scene of every movie he is in. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but in the first scene where Damien's having his birthday party, Damien's nanny stares in the
kills
eyes.
Herself. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She stares in the eyes of this Rottweiler that I guess tells her to go up to the house, get a rope, climb out on the roof and go, Damien, I did it all for you. And she just jumps and hangs herself. But the best part is Gregory Peck's reaction. He's the ambassador to the United States.
Right.
He's living in London. Oh. And he just, there's his, the guy he works for him goes, oh, Thomas, can you? He was just annoyed with it. This nanny hangs herself at her son's birthday party. And he's just a little miffed.
A little miffed. Have you ever seen the remake with Liev Schreiber and Julia Stiles?
No, I never saw that.
Oh, so I think it takes place in Italy. I think he's like the ambassador to Italy, or they yeah, ambassador in Italy. And same kind of thing. So there are like certain people in The Omen die certain ways in like the original one from the whatever 70s or whatever it was. You know, you got a guy who I think the thing swings down and like or is it a sheet of glass like decapitates him or something like that, right?
Nice.
Yeah. So it was like one of the, so they redid all of the deaths. Eventually the mother dies, you know, a kid kills the mother, and they change up how everyone dies. It's a really good remake. As remakes go, The Omen was amazing because it wasn't hacky and like, oh, somebody gets shot in the face and whatever. They creatively redid all of these bizarre demonic deaths. And if you like the original Omen, I would check out the remake because the cast is awesome, the acting's great, and it's scary as ever-loving fuck. But it's just a retelling, but it's great. It's a great remake.
Yeah, I was just reading about the kid Seamus Davy Fitzpatrick who plays Damien in that. He was in Moonrise Kingdom, which I like that movie.
I love when little Jewish kids get acting jobs.
Okay.
Yeah,
what's his fucking name?
Seamus Davy Fitzpatrick.
Seamus
is a great name.
It is.
Yeah, I went to a Hebrew school with a kid named Seamus.
Really?
Davy Fitzpatrick. So two things. We were just talking about John Corbett a little bit. If anyone listening, or that's including the two of you, if you can get your hands on just a URL, or just any site where I can watch the show from early on when FX was doing original content. This is like more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It would have to be. Yeah. Like 15 years ago. Like this predates Always Sunny in Philadelphia and all that stuff. There was a show with John Corbett, Craig Robinson, and Billy Gardell called Lucky, where he's just a professional poker player, and it was a half hour comedy, a half hour sitcom, and it just disappeared and just gone, scrubbed from the face of the earth.
Really?
I can't find anywhere
no traces
to watch it. And it was a really great show. I mean, Craig Robinson from The Office and Hot Tub Time Machine, Take Your Panties Off, Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly, and John Corbett, and it was just such a funny show. And then you know, back then we didn't foresee having pretty much every TV show at our fingertips, you know, but it's nowhere to be found.
All right, that's
so if you could find it, I'd appreciate it.
What
give
was
it
the
a
name
watch.
Of it again?
It's called Lucky.
Oh,
it wasn't the horse track one.
No, that was Luck.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
which somehow actually killed animals during the filming.
Yeah,
that's still out there.
But that happens in real life.
Yeah, you can still watch the reruns of that.
Dustin Hoffman.
Yes, right. Dustin and Dennis Farina. Right before he died. That was the last thing Dennis Farina did.
Wow.
And also, last week you told us you went on a touring all the murder houses and stuff like that.
The true crime tour.
I wanted to enlighten you maybe about something that you haven't heard about. At the, what's the hotel? They found some dead girl. This is about 7 years
ago. In the water tank.
Have you seen the footage of that?
It's insane.
It is the creepiest shit on the face of the earth. I was just listening.
Like, how did she get in the water tank?
That's the fucking mystery of it. I was just listening to Corolla Classics from 7 years ago, and they're talking about this story when it just happened. There's like footage of her in the elevator, like looking like somebody's chasing after. Oh God, it's like just thinking about it. It's the scariest fucking shit you can see, and it's real.
And that was out here?
Yeah. It was in L.A. What's it called? The Cicero or something like that? Cecil Hotel. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the footage is disturbing, there's many theories about how she got in there, but it's strange because she got in this weird water tank, and they're not exactly sure.
There was like no way for her to have like been able to lock it or something. Some mystery, like true mystery about it.
Yeah, this video of her stumbling around.
I just want to see if you went stopped over at the Cecil.
No, but we did plan on, because there's a few hotels downtown that people, surprise, surprise, have been murdered in Los Angeles. And
in this small town?
I know. That was on our list to do.
All right. Well, check. Yeah. You have so much more balls than I do. I could all the haunted shit, not for me. All right, let's wrap it up. That was that's the world famous shit show for this week. We might crank out another one very soon. It's so weird.
I gotta watch this Ricochet with Ice-T and Denzel Washington.
You are.
I'm gonna watch it too. Does it say where to stream it?
I just read production notes. Originally, the screenplay to Ricochet by Fred Decker was written as a Dirty Harry film, but Clint Eastwood deemed it too grim.
Too grim for Dirty Harry?
Yeah.
It seems pretty grim. I'm not interested, but you guys go for it.
The Dirty Harry franchise kind of lightened up towards the end when they had Jim Carrey and the fucking Guns N' Roses in it.
Well, yeah, and that when he had like Bob Ross appear as his sidekick, it was just like, okay.
I wouldn't mind doing a Dirty Harry tour up in San Francisco as like a road trip.
I wanted to shoot some sketches up there.
I know. That would be fun.
Too bad there's, you can't get in or out. And if you could, I mean, what are you going to shoot like knee deep in human shit? All right. That's the world famous shit show, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Spency. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. We'll do it again.
All right. Love you. Bye, Sue.
Bye.
Damien, I did it all for you.